So students, if you're out there and you just want to build your life on Jesus, I'm just going to ask you just to lift your hands as a sign of surrender, as a sign of saying, God hears everything. I want you to have it. And just as I pray over you guys, I just ask that you would pray yourself. You would let God know hears everything. Heavenly Father, we want to build our life on you. We want to put our trust in you because you are the one who deserves it. You are the one we can trust with it. There's no one else like you. And so, God, we give you our whole selves. We hold nothing back tonight. And we declare, we make the declaration like that song, that you are the one we're going to trust in. God, we love you, and we thank you that before we loved you, you loved us. You saw us for reward, and you sent Jesus. You saw us for reward, and you pulled us out of the mud, and you forgave us and cleaned us. You've given us hope and life. You deserve our praise, and so we thank you tonight. We love you. Thank you for being so good to us. In Jesus' holy, incredible name, amen, amen. As you guys take a seat, high five somebody and tell them that they're awesome.
You're awesome. No, you're awesome.
All right. All right, how's everybody doing? You guys doing good? Oh, walk of shame. You're good. Good job getting your jacket. Yay. All right, man, it's so good to see you guys tonight. This is my favorite night of the week. You guys are awesome. I love being here. So last week we went through the first message called Greater Reward. And tonight, we're going to do the second part of that series. And again, this is something I found from a church called Life Church TV. And I heard it and all that. I was like, this would be really good to share with you guys. So I'm excited to get into this a little bit more. Last week, I went around the room and I asked, hey, what's your New Year's resolution? Was anyone not here last week and they want to share what their New Year's resolution is? If you want to. Miss Harley.
Again, drink more soda.
Yes, it's still drink more soda. Are you holding to your New Year's resolution? You're doing it. She's crushing her goals. All right. Oh, all right, Matthew.
To live a simpler life.
Oh, to live a simpler life. That's really broad, but that's a good goal. That's really good. I like that. All right, we got Lydia up here. All right. You got three. Go for it.
I want to go D1, and I want to go grow closer with God and read my Bible every day.
Let's go. Those are awesome. That's great. Those are really good goals. Anna.
Huh? Okay. Mine's read the Bible every day of the year, so I can finish it by the end of the year.
Oh, I love it. That's awesome. Was that one? Okay, gotcha. All right. Gerald's got two.
All right. My first one, I still want to start. Okay. My second one, I want to grow closer to God.
Let's go. Those are good. Jake's got two.
Still want a new dirt bike, and I don't want to fall off my horse again.
Those are good ones. All right.
I want to dunk on Noah more.
You want to dunk on Noah more? All right.
Go outside and play on your electric unicycle and trust in God.
Wait, do it again, because these guys.
Play on your electric unicycle outside and trust in God.
So hold on. So play on your electric unicycle. Is this a real thing? You have this? How's that going?
Good.
Have you fallen off? Battle wounds. Electric. I didn't know they made electric unicycles. That's wild. Okay. Yeah. All right, cool. So, hey, part of what we talked about last week was, we sometimes there's things that we want most in life, right? We want most to follow God. We want most to fill in the blank, to drink more soda, right? All of that. But there's things we want the most that are really good, and then sometimes things pop up that we want now that are like the complete opposite of that, right? Where if we want to be somebody who reads the Bible, who knows the Bible, but then what we want now might be to stay on the Xbox a lot longer, right? And so we talked a little bit about that, and we talked about that struggle. The Apostle Paul, he felt that struggle. We saw that in 1 Corinthians where Paul basically said this, the thing I want to do, that I end up not doing. The thing I don't want to do, that's the thing I end up doing. And he said, oh, miserable man that I am. He was like, I can't stand this. I just am not doing the things I want to do. And so we talked about that last week in that kind of pull, that tension in two different directions and what we can do about it. It's the same for us, right? We find ourselves in that same boat. So many, if Paul could find himself in that boat, we definitely can. And we talked about what do we do about that. Well, number one, we find that if we do things on our own willpower, if we just muscle it up and be like, okay, I got this, we're going to fail. That might help for a little bit, but we're going to fail. We're going to get in that shame cycle. If you guys remember that on the screen, where we just keep going in this thing and it's not good. The way we break through that and find victory is not by willpower. It's by living in the Spirit. It's walking in the Spirit. That's not a one-time thing. That's a continual thing. And what that looks like is it's this constant talk with the Lord throughout your day. You get up and you say, God, I can't do this today. I need your help. You get to school, somebody's annoying you, somebody behind you keeps flicking your ear like, dear Jesus, I need the Holy Spirit to help me right now. They're going to catch these hands if you don't help me, right? We talked about that. Walking in the Spirit is so necessary for us if we want to really grab hold of the things we want most, the purpose of God, knowing God, hearing God's voice. The things we want most, we need the work of the Holy Spirit. Tonight, we're going to talk about training versus trying. I'll explain what that means. But first, we talked about New Year's resolutions. And you guys gave a lot of great examples even just now, too. If you're like me, you start one of these, you get a little bit down the road, and you just fall apart with it. My thing has always been, I always make the New Year's resolution to work out and read books. Well, by January 15th, I'm not reading books or working out at all, right? And a lot of people are that way. As a matter of fact, the percentage of New Year's resolutions that make it to Valentine's Day is only 20%. Only 20% even make it 6 weeks. So what we find is that we have these goals, we want to do these things, and then we put our mind to it, and then we end up doing something else instead, and we just fall off the wagon with it. And that applies to a lot of things, like working out and reading books, but it applies to spiritual things. Because what we find is, again, we set this goal, I'm going to read the whole Bible in a year, I'm going to be a person that prays 30 minutes a day, I'm going to witness to my friends, and then things happen and we get off course with it. And that is just a tendency and a thing that a lot of us go through. And so we're going to talk even a little bit more about that tonight. We talked about it last week with walking in the Spirit, and today we're going to look at that in a little bit different of a way. And the important thing here is that as a Christian, God wants you to grow. God wants you to walk with Him. God has good plans for you. And yet we find ourselves falling back in the same patterns, in the same cycles. All right, so what do we do about that? So this is something that Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:24. He said, "Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize." So in other words, Paul was saying, if you're going to run, run to win. Now, when Paul was talking about this like running metaphor and winning a race and all that, he was talking to an audience that knew very well what he was talking about. So Corinth, this was written to the Corinthians. So Corinth was a city. And that city was in Greece. And Greece, as some of you might know, is where the Olympics began. So the Olympics began in 776 BC. So as Paul is writing this to the Corinthian people, the Olympics had already been there 800 years, which is crazy. The Olympics are old. It's really crazy to think about. They had already been there for 800 years. So these people understood what it was to compete. But then in the city of Corinth, they had their own Olympics there at a separate time called the Isthmian Games. So in the Isthmian Games, they had different competitions. You could be a wrestler. You could go compete in chariot races. You could compete in boxing. And believe it or not, in the Isthmian Games in Corinth, you could do competitive poetry. That was the thing. You could be like reading a poem competitively. Who here would crush it at competitive poem reading? Oh, let's go. Let's go. All right, that's next week's game in youth. No, I'm just kidding. No, we're not going to do that. All right, so Paul was talking to a group of people in Corinth. They totally understood the whole concept of being competitive and the whole concept of what it meant to train and get to that place where you want to win. And he wrote these words, "Don't you know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way to get the prize." So if you're going to run in a race, would you want to win? Right? Would you guys want to win if you're in a competition race? Right? You would, right? The whole goal is to win. And to win, we have to make the right decisions, and we have to train to do that. And you know what? I read somewhere that in the room with us, there's a state champion runner. Missy, come on up. All right, calm down, fans. All right, you have a fan group. She will do autographs. $50 each autograph. Make check payable to Chris Tankersley. All right. So I have two questions for Missy. First, I'm going to ask her what it was like for her to train to run, and then I'm going to ask her what would happen if she just showed up and tried to run without training. So the first question for Missy is this: tell me. Because you did long distance running, right? Like cross country. So how far would that be?
3 miles.
3 miles. That's more than like 20 feet. That's a long way. So I'm going to give the mic to you. I want you to tell us about what it would be like to really train for that.
So we would go outside and there would be a course. And most of the time I would pace like 3 miles and 2 miles to get ready for the race. But like a week before the race, I would do 4 miles, but at a slower pace. And that's about it.
And so when you would train like that, what happened when you would like, we were like laser locked in on that kind of training? How did it go for you?
I definitely did a lot better in my runs after I trained.
Sweet. Now let's say, for instance, you didn't train. Let's say you were just like, hey, I'm going to not train. I'm just going to show up and try. How would that go?
So actually, like, last year and the year before that was, like, whenever I really actually tried running, I practiced and I paced myself and all that. And then this year, I didn't train at all. I would just, like, a week before the race, I'd be like, okay, I have a race and eat the same thing. Like, I wouldn't care about my body, like, what I did to it. I didn't train or anything, and I wasn't doing very well. I wasn't winning any races. I wasn't, like, competing well. I just wasn't a good team player.
All right, so if I understand right, when you were training, you were locked in. You had to do a lot of work, a lot of sweat. You had a plan. You stuck to it. State champion, right? When you said, hey, I'm just going to show up and do this thing, it didn't go as good. Either way, who else here can say they were state champion in running? Oh, whatever. She can, huh? You're calling it for you? All right, hey, guys, give it up for Missy. Thank you, Missy. All right, thank you, guys. All right, I want you to grab onto this idea. We're going to talk more about it, of training versus just trying, okay? We're going to talk more about what that means in our Christian walk with God. Because Paul said this: if you're going to run the race, you run to? Let's try it again. Win is right. If you're going to run the race, you run to?
Win.
To win. To win the race. You want to run to win. This doesn't mean, in your walk with God, this does not mean you're running in competition against one another. That's not what it means. But running to win the race, it means that you follow God with everything you have. It means that you are striving, like all that you have in you is striving toward God, to know God. It means that God isn't just something you add on to your life, right? God is the thing in your life. And so the principle here is this, is that you give your absolute best to God. That's you run to win the race means that we give our absolute best to God. The last thing that Jesus said to the disciples before he died, he rose again, he was about to be taken into heaven, he said, go into all the world and make disciples. He said, go, I'm sending you, right? Make disciples. That's active stuff. And those words were for all of us. He didn't say, like, sleep in really late. He didn't say, ignore the things you need to do. He didn't say, like, take a 30-year break. No, he said, get out there and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. God has a mandate for us, and it is a lot more than just showing up. It's actually training, and it's giving our best to God. So the Apostle Paul said, if you're going to run, run to win. Give your best to God. So why do we find ourselves not doing that sometimes? Because I don't know about you, I can find plenty of days where I'm not giving my best. I'm mailing it in a little bit, and I'm sure everybody here can relate to that. And I want to give you an answer on sometimes why we find ourselves in that boat. is because we're merely trying too much. And I want to explain what that means. So when I say that we're trying versus training, by the word trying, we're talking about when we give somewhat of an attempt to do something. Like, I'm just going to try to follow God. I'm just going to try to be a Christian. I'm going to try to read my Bible. I'm going to try not to vape. I'm going to try not to cuss. Like, it almost has this tone behind it where you expect that you're going to mess up, and you're just kind of hanging on and just going to try it one more day. I'm just going to try to make it work, right? And so it almost has this mentality that's like a half-hearted attempt, and we almost expect ourselves to fail. So if you find yourself not growing in your walk, if you find yourself doing the same cycle of sin over and over and over again, right, you might be in this mode where you're just like, I'm just going to give it a shot. I'm just going to try this thing, and I want to give you a different approach than that. And the Apostle Paul talks about this, is that we need to stop just merely trying, just I'm going to give it a shot, and start getting into training, and there's a big difference. And so here's the difference. Again, when you're trying, it's like you're attempting something with a minimal commitment, right? My New Year's resolution, I'm going to try to start reading books. But I can tell you, it's aspirational for me in the book thing. It's not like a deep commitment. And some of you, it may be like that in your walk with God. Again, like I'm going to try to say the right thing. I'm going to try not to cuss people out, all this stuff. Training is completely different, all right? It's a wholehearted commitment because you have a specific result you want to get. So the difference between trying and training, if you're trying, you're just showing up hoping for a better result. I hope this works out. I'm just going to try it. But if you're training, you have a game plan. You're tenacious. You say, no matter what happens today, I know I want to read my Bible. No matter what happens today, I want to spend some time talking to God because that's who I want to be. I'm in training. I have a plan on how I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to approach it. I'm going to attack it. When you're trying, just trying, you're going to give up when it gets hard, right? You're going to give up and be like, it's too much work. But when you're in training and you've got this deep commitment in you, you're saying, I don't care what happens. I need the Word of God. I'm sticking with this thing. I'm not giving up. That's the difference between trying and training. Training, you don't act according to your feelings. You act according to your commitment. I'm going to say that one more time. When you're in training to become who God wants you to be, you don't act according to your feelings. You act according to your commitment. So Tom Brady, I think we can agree he's a football goat. I'm a Falcons fan, and if I can say that, you can admit that. Thank you. All right. Tom Brady, who can tell me, somebody over here, because you guys are just going to talk about everything else. How old was Tom Brady when he retired? Anybody can tell me? Old. Zach is right. That's the answer. Old. He was in his 40s. 47, close. 45, yeah. 45. He was 45 years old when he retired. Can you imagine, you know, what Tom Brady must have done to keep his body in that shape and take those hits and still have the arm strength and all of that? Hopefully not, whoever said that. No, but what he would do, he would go train and train and train in the offseason, right? That was his laser focus, is I am an NFL quarterback. I am going to keep making it. Therefore, I am in training to keep my game sharp at 45 years old. Do you think he showed up, like just showed up and didn't train at all? What would happen if he showed up at training camp or game one or whatever, and the coach says, hey, Tom, how was your offseason training? And he was like, you know, I didn't really train much, but I did try. I'm going to just show up and try. Like, how would that go for Tom Brady? Even Tom Brady, he can't just show up and just try. There has to be training. So Paul said this in 1 Corinthians 9:25. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. So that word training right there, everyone goes into strict training. There's a Greek word. It's originally written in Greek, and that Greek word is agonamzai. Yep, that's it. So basically, it's got the word agony in there. So it's where we get our English word for agony. Okay, so think about that for a minute. So in other words, it's like it's hard work. This training is hard work. Means you have to contend for it. Means you have to strain for it. Trying, is like a half-hearted attempt. But when we train, we take every bit of power we have, every bit of energy we have, we point it to that goal, And then we say, God, I've given you everything I have, but I need more from heaven too, because I can't do this. And that is what we talked about last week in walking in the Spirit. So the way I look at this is if we're in training for God, we are so aggressively pursuing God. It's not just about willpower again. You are saying every day, I got to get up, and my training is I'm going to rely on Jesus. The way I rely on him is I talk to him throughout my day. I read his word. I make a commitment to telling other people about him. I'm going to shut off the phone if it's tempting me. I'm going to not watch that Netflix show if it's tempting me. I'm going to block out the things I don't want. You're walking in surrender to the Holy Spirit, but you're doing it in such a way where you're saying, I am all in with this thing. Everybody say all in.
All in.
All in. Train, strict training. Agonizomai is the word. Strict training. All right, so we run to win. We're not trying to honor God. We're in training to do what God created us to do. There's this verse in 1 Timothy 4, verse 7, and Paul's talking to Timothy about becoming godly. And here's what Paul said to Timothy. I want you to try to be godly. He said, wake up and do your best. No, he said this. He said, train yourself to be godly. Train yourself to be godly. It's a mindset that you have. It's different than just, again, showing up and just giving it the good old college try. It is saying, I'm in training to be godly. It's a full out, all in, every day. I'm striving toward God with everything I have. You're intentional about it. And that's why in 1 Corinthians 9:26, it says this. Paul says, in part of this, he says, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. So it's not accidental. If you're just going to be like accidental in your walk with God, and you're just going to be kind of like, well, I guess, you know, one day I'm going to try, next day I'm not going to try, one day, you know, and you're just back and forth like that, you're setting yourself up to have your armor really weak and open to temptation. And that's why we see it's not accidental. You don't run like someone running aimlessly. You have a plan. You have an attack for your walk with God. You're going to get after it, your walk with God. So what are some ways that you can train spiritually? So if you want to be somebody who leads your friends to Jesus, then start studying up on things, right? You want to be somebody, you bring other people to church. You have friends that might be atheists. You have friends that might just be caught up in some stuff that's not good, or they want to argue about the Bible and tell you it's not real or whatever. What you want to do is if you're in training, you're saying, all right, I'm going to go research what they're talking about. I don't have the answers right now. I'm going to study up on it. I want to understand what they're talking about so I can know how to talk to them about it. You're going to pray for them over and over again. You're going to really give. You're in training. You're going to train yourself in these areas because you want to see them come to know the Lord. If you want to be someone who knows God's word, you're going to train yourself each and every day. We talked about this right before Christmas, right? Like, we don't want to just show up, and we want to have a plan on how we're going to read the Bible. This is the time I'm going to read the Bible. Have that carved out every single day. This is the place I'm going to read the Bible. It's my routine. Build a routine and then come up with a plan. So we talked about some of those plans a while back. But you might have a devotion on the Bible app. You might want to like read something from things that Jesus did. You can start at the book of John and go through that. You may want to start at the beginning of the Bible with creation and Genesis. But you have a time, a place, and a plan that you're reading God's word and growing. And then you stick to it every day. No matter what happens, you've got that time carved out. That's what it means to be in train, not just trying, you're in training. Maybe you're struggling with an area, in a certain area, and you don't want to wake up and just like, hey, I want to try not to slip up today. I'm just going to try. No, begin to study what the Word of God says on that, right? If you struggle with your temper, look that up. Find a Bible app plan on that. Look up verses that can help you with that. Find a youth leader in here or somebody your age or whoever it might be that's walking with God. And get their help. Get them to pray with you. Get them to talk with you about whatever it is you're struggling with. That's different than just trying to not do it. Now you're in training. Now you're saying, all right, I'm going to really attack this thing. I'm so serious about putting that sin behind me or whatever it is. I've got a plan of attack. Does that make sense to you guys? Right? All right, so I'm going to wrap up here. And you guys can, if you will, let's just stand together. And so this whole series, again, all of a sudden, everybody got taller than me. All right. Oh, thanks. So this whole sermon series, right, is about greater reward. And it's about, again, guys, saying there are things we want most in God. and there are things we want now, and a lot of times they compete against each other. We want to be people who choose the greater reward. We're choosing that thing that we want most. And I want to tell you, like, on behalf of these other youth leaders that we have here, that we love you guys. And there are different ways we can approach, talking to you guys up here and trying to disciple you and all that. And we could spoon feed you. Spoon feeding, I remember when Anna was a baby, I would get little baby food on there and I'd say, here comes the plane. You know, like, she still does that. Yeah, she still does it. Right? So listen, we could do the same thing with God's word. And we could say to you guys, we could say, hey, I'm just gonna say easy things to you. I just always want you to leave here feeling so whatever it is that I'm not gonna tell you any harsh truth. I'm not gonna challenge you. I'm gonna make it really easy, make it sound like it's easy to be a Christian and all that. But that's not what we wanna do here. We're gonna be willing to challenge you guys. Because here's something I believe, all right? I believe you guys want the truth. I believe your generation is different than my generation, or even the generation like Matthew's generation. You guys are different, and God has a different plan, a different anointing on you guys, and different plans for y'all. And I believe when we say some things to challenge you, I believe you can handle it. And I believe, guys, that God is doing something real in this generation. Do you believe that? I believe it. I see it. I see God doing it from college campuses all the way down to kids your age. God is doing something real. And with that, I feel like I can say challenging things to you guys. And so what I want you guys to know, I want to challenge you with this. Don't make God just one part of your life. Don't make God just an accessory that you add on to everything else. Make him your everything. If you will do this, where you say, I'm just not going to show, you know, just try. I'm going to go in training for God. I'm going to really make God the number one focal point, where he is my everything, where I am living for him, where I'm going to obsess with living for him. I want to challenge you guys in here. Start doing that and living like that every day and watch what God does. Watch some of the breakthroughs you get in areas you struggled. Watch God reach in and start healing some anxiety and depression that you didn't think could happen. Watch God start to begin to speak to you, and you hear God's voice, and the one who created you, you start sensing him. Wait, he's walking by me moment by moment. Those things start becoming real to you. And when you start saying, I'm going to obsess with the Lord, he takes notice of that. All throughout the Bible, when people got serious like that, God notices, God shows up. I want to challenge you guys with that, to not be a Christian who just checks a box, but say, I'm going to go all in. Who here tonight wants to say, I want to go all in for Jesus? I want to offer every single person here to just come find a place at the altar and pray. Give him everything tonight. Heavenly Father, as people come down front, God, we just want to tell you, we give you our everything. We offer it all to you. God, we don't want just easy believism. God, we want more of you, and we want to give you our all. So tonight, meet with us in these altars. In Jesus' name, amen.